Bruchim Amon, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Insights into Parshas HaShavu. As I said a moment ago, we haven't had a shiur for a few weeks. Ein milim b'fi l'habia rikshei levavi. How special it is to be able to give the shiurim and to learn the and teach and hopefully enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. It's something that's Baruch Hashem that we're able to continue the shiurim. Parshas Kiseitse, in Yonim of Elul, everybody can either open up a chumash, write it on the blackboard of your heart, but a very, very special welcome to all those who are joining as we're resuming insights into Parshas HaShavua, this week's Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Kiseitse. And as we like saying each and every week when we start, the point is not only to glean insights into the Parsha and to enhance our understanding of the Parsha, but on Shabbos Kodesh, say it over, share it with a friend, do something to Be'ezus Hashem enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Take a look at Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, a very famous Pasuk, Chav Gimel Tezvav. The Pasuk tells us, Ki Hashem Aleikecha Mithalech Bekerev Machanecha. HaKodesh Baruch Hu does walk in the midst of our camp, Lahatzilcha, to save you. We know the Ribbono Shel Olam can save us, the Ribbono Shel Olam can do anything. And then the Pasuk says, Veloseis Oivecha Lefonecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam can deliver the enemy into your hands, Vahoya Machanecha Kodesh, your camp has to be holy. There are many, many pshatim on this Pasuk, but because it's Parshas Kiseitse, and we're in the middle of Chodesh Elul, I'd like to share with you a very powerful pshat to begin the shiur. Let's read the words in the following way. Rabbi, so you know there are many acronyms for Elul, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. I'm sure perhaps the most famous one is Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li. Equally famous perhaps is Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matonis Lev Yainim. But I'd like in tonight's shiur to share with the Olam a few acronyms that perhaps are not as well known, and let's tie each of them into Parshas Kiseitse. Maybe we could read the Pasuk in the following way. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mithalech Bekerev Machanecha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is allowing us, Bekerev Machanecha, from the word Korov, to get close. Hashem is allowing us to get close. Now that's really what Chodesh Elul is all about. Chodesh Elul, even though it's true for the entire year, Chodesh Elul has the uniqueness that we're able to get, if you will, extremely close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or perhaps we'll say it's easier to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but that's definitely something Chodesh Elul affords us. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes Bekerev Machanecha, from the word Korev. He allows us to get close. Now we just said a moment ago, when is that? That's Chodesh Elul. Take a look at the next four words. Lehatzilcha, to save you. Velosois oyivecha lefonecha, to save you and to go ahead and to deliver the enemy before you. Meir v'rabbi say, whether you're in the heichal, on the phone, or going to pick up the recording when we send it out, what's the first letter of these four words? Lehatzilcha lamed. Velosois is above. Oyvecha is an aleph, lefanecha is a lamed. And of course, when you rearrange those four letters, you get the word Elul. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. The ki Hashem Aleikecha Mithalech Bekerev Machanecha. Bekerev from the word Korev. The Ribbono Shel Olam says we can get close, Klal Yisrael can get especially close. Take a look at the first letter of the next four words. Lahatzilcha velosais oyvecha lefanecha. We said a moment ago, when you rearrange the letters, it spells the word Elul. But what are the next three words of the Pasuk? Vahaya machanecha kadosh. Vahaya machanecha kadosh is the tenai. It's the condition and the caveat to the beginning of the Pasuk. The Ribbono Shel Olam says we can get close. And there's an easier chance to get close during which month? The one that you rearrange the letters, you get the word Elul. But the next three words tell us a condition, provided that the Tanayan stipulation is V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. Oh, Somebody in the Heichal just said so beautifully that the first letters of Ahaya Machanecha Kadesh, Vav, Mem, Kuf, when we arrange, spells the word Kum, to get up. We have to get up. We have to want it. We have to make the change. We have to get up and want it badly enough. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Bekarav Machanecha, I will be there for you. This is the first acronym of Elul tonight, beyond Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li, and Ish Tereyu Matanas Lev Yainim, that I want to focus on. Once again, Bekarav Machanecha is from the words that Hashem says, it's easier, or should I say, a unique opportunity during Chodesh El to get close. And as we said, the next four words, Lahatzilcha V'Losois Oyevecha Lefanecha, when rearranged spells the word Elul, it could be the reason why it's not straight, but it has to be rearranged, is because rearranging the letters represents, you have to work on it, you have to do something. As you said a moment ago, Kum, get up, rearrange and make it happen. But the condition is, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. You know, Rabbi Isai, in a few moments, we're going to talk about something earlier in the parsha where it says that if you see a lost item of something that belonged to your friend, you're not allowed to turn away. You have to return it. In a few minutes, about five, we're going to talk about that pasuk. But I want to tell you a pshat from Reb Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, found in Sefer Mayim Veis HaShoeva towards the end. A very, very powerful and poignant pshat. Before we go to that pasuk, let's just borrow a concept from it. If there is an object that your friend lost, you have to return it. So Reb Shimon Schwab, quoting the pasuk, he says, but we could say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are like sheep that are lost. We are like sheep that are lost. And there's a pasuk in this week's parsha that says one is not allowed to turn away from a lost item. So we could ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, you Ribbono Shel Olam keep the entire Torah. And the Torah says that if a person is lost, if something is lost, it has to be returned to the person. We are a lost item. Klal Yisrael is a lost nation. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, that pasuk in the Torah that says one cannot turn away but has to return the item. And the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps Kol HaTorah Kula, so why can't we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're lost, we have to be returned to you? Says Rav Shimon Schwab, and you should open up your heart to his answer. He says, because the Gemara that we're going to quote in about 5 minutes says, it's true that you have to return a lost object, but there are times that you're allowed to turn away, that you don't have to return the item. Of course, one famous example is Zakin Veinu L'Vichoydei. Let's say a Talmid Chacham is walking down the street and the item that's lost, it's not befitting for him to return, so then he doesn't have to return it. And then there's another example, and what is that? Kayin B'Beis HaKloris. Kayin B'Beis HaKloris means a Kayin's not allowed to go into a cemetery. He's not allowed to make himself Tomei. If the lost item is found in the Beis HaKloris, for the Kayin to go into the Beis HaKloros would mean that he's contaminating himself. So in that case, it's a dispensation. It's an exception to the rule that it must be returned and you can't look away. In those cases, like the last one I just gave, because the Kayin doesn't have to put himself where he becomes Tamei, in that case, he's allowed to look away and not return the item. It says Rav Shimon Schwab, when Klal Yisrael behaves in a way, so to speak, of Tumah, when we do not have, to borrow the pasuk we said earlier, when we don't fulfill V'haya Machanecha Kadosh, when we act or behave or speak or interact or react in ways that have tumah, ways that are impure, not ways that should be for a Torah Yid, then although we are lost sheep and the Ribbono Shel Olam has to fulfill the Torah and find us, but we just said from the Gemara that there's an exception to that rule. Kayim Beveis HaKvarai does not need to go ahead and return the item. Why? Because he doesn't have to become Tamei by going ahead and returning it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyachol could say the same thing. Only when it's V'haya Machanecha Kadosh, only when there's a state of purity, only with a state of Kum, getting up and trying, only then can we call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, we are so lost, please return us. But as long as we do things to perpetuate a state of Tumah, a state of impurity, be it the way our home looks, or inside, or outside, or the way we speak, whatever it might be, however it might manifest itself, But when there's a state of tumah, then the rule that we're about to learn in the parsha of the pasuk that says that if something is lost, the person is not allowed to turn away. One of the exceptions is claim the beis hakvarais. Oh, there's an exception by claim the beis hakvarais. We have no right to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, please return us and find us. When it's a state of tumah, that's an exception to the rule. And I believe that pshat from Reb Shimon Schwab goes beautifully with what we just said, this opening acronym tonight of Elul. Those four words where it says, Lahatzilcha, Veloseis Oyevecha Lefanecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I could save you. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to get close to you. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll make sure that I'm there. But that acronym of Elul is only with the condition of V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. Because only when we could truly tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kum, we are getting up and working to create a situation. We're trying, at least try. Only when we're trying to create a situation of V'haya Machanecha Kadosh, then we could call to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are so lost. And earlier in the parsha it says that a lost item has to be returned and one cannot turn away. But it all begins with achieving a home inside and outside of V'haya Machanecha Kadosh. If a person takes a look a little bit earlier in the parsha, if one doesn't have a chumash, it's fine, but at least let's take it down on the blackboard of our heart. Let's turn to that pasuk I just referenced, Perakot Beis Pasuk Aleph. Chof Beis Aleph, let's learn it together inside. The pasuk says, and we just referenced this a moment ago, a person is not allowed to see the ox of his brother or the sheep of his brother, and make it like he doesn't see and hide himself from them, but rather, you have to return it. Your friend lost the item, he lost a vase, he lost an expensive watch, he lost his sheep, he lost an ox. The pasuk clearly tells us, let's read the words again, Perakot Beis, Pasuk Aleph. You have the Chumash in front of you like I'm using, page 1048. The Pasuk tells us, as we just clearly read, V'hisalamta mehem. You're not allowed to hide yourself from them, but rather, Hashev tishivem l'achicha, it has to be returned. I saw a beautiful pshat from the Shelah HaKadosh. The Halakha Shelah HaKadosh says, if this is true about a lost sheep or a lost ox, kal v'chomer ben b'nei shel kal v'chomer, what about a person that's lost? And the Shelah is not referring to somebody who's physically lost, but somebody who's spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally lost. Someone who's left the Dalet Amos of the Torah, someone who is drifting, someone who's having a hard time and taking the scenic route, someone who feels alone. Many, many people have lots of reasons to feel lost. Says the Shelah HaKadosh, now reread the Pasuk. When a person, loisira, and now let's replace the word, not with the ox of your friend, or with the sheep of your friend, but imagine that what's lost is the nefesh of your friend, the esteem, the soul. Imagine that your friend is lost. The Pasuk says to us, V'hisalamta mehem? You think you have the ability to hide yourself and to say, well, I'm okay. Anyways, he or she is a pesheya. They've done aveiros. They could have done things differently. After all, is it my achrayus? Is it my responsibility? They're a pesheya. They've done things wrong. The Torah says, if it's true for an ox, and it's true for a sheep, and it's true for a basketball and a vase, then you better believe for a person, Hoshev Teshivem La'achicha. And by the way, perhaps we could read that really, it means you should return the item to your brother. Maybe based on the words of the Shelah HaKadosh, we could read, Hoshev Teshivem La'achicha, it is your brother that you should return. Return to your brother. Return to your brother and make him feel welcome. Don't let the person psychologically or emotionally or spiritually feel so lost. Zokta Halakha Shelah HaKadosh, if it is true for an item, how much more so is it true for another yid? That certainly goes beautifully with the acronym of El that we mentioned a moment ago of Ish L'Re'eyu U'Matanas Lev Yainim, the importance of being there one for the other. Hoshev tishivim la'achicha. But I want to take this a step further. There's a very well-known story, a very well-known maisa with Rabbi Kiva Eger. A very powerful maisa. Rabbi Kiva Eger once went to visit a particular city, and of course, the honor and the esteem that he received from everybody in the city, and towards the end of the visit, or at some part of the visit, the great Gadol Hador, the great Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, the Kiva Eger, said that he had to go to the other side of the city to visit a very distant relative of his, somebody who perhaps was somebody who involved with leathers or with shoe repair, a wonderful person, but a distant relative, not anyone, so to speak, that the people in the city knew about. When the people found out where he was going, they asked Rabbi Kiva Eger, "Isn't that below your dignity? Shouldn't he come to you? Why are you going to him? Isn't that perhaps something that you shouldn't go out of your way to do?" And listen to Rabbi Kiva Eger answered. He says, "Rabbi Yisai, if you take a look, there are two times that the Torah tells us that if something is lost, or the Torah uses the words, don't turn away, don't look away." Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, one, that about Hashavas Aveda, take a look for a moment at Pasuk Gimel. Go two Pesukim later to where we are, the bottom of page 1048. And now the Chamor is lost, or his garment is lost, or anything that he loses. The Chol Aveda Sechicha, what are the last three words of that Pasuk? Loi Sucha Lisalem, you're not allowed to hide yourself. Now there is one or other occasion where you find in Tanakh a similar phraseology. If a person takes a look in the Navi Yeshaya, Nun Ches Pasuk Zayin, there the Pasuk says, Umi Besarcha Loi Tisalem, from your flesh and blood, don't turn away. Zokta B'Kiveger, there are two times in Tanakh we are warned, don't turn away and hide yourself. The one I just read you in this week's parsha, where it says L'sucha L'stalim by an item, and the one I just told you in the Navi Yeshaya Perek Meches Pasuk Zayin, where it says Umi Besarcha Loi Tisalim. But then Rabbi Kiva Eger said, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, which is the one I quoted a few moments ago with the pshat of Rabbi Shimon Schwab, tells us regarding the item of your friend and that pasuk that says L'sucha L'stalim, you're not allowed to turn away. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis says Pa'amim She'ata Misalei Mehem. But there are times that you're allowed to turn away. There are exceptions to the rule, and I gave you a few of them a couple of moments ago. Of Rezokta B'Kiva Eger, regarding the second one, of Umi V'Sharcha Loi Tisalem, there you don't find any exemption. There you don't find any such Gemara where the Gemara says, but here you don't need to, or here you don't need to, or here you don't need to. Pile, 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 playim, Azam Maisa B'Kiva Eger. That exception and dispensation, there are times you're allowed to turn away, is only found in this week's parsha regarding the item. But regarding that second one, you can't turn away from your flesh and blood, from another family member. There is no Gemara that says, there aren't. And the Mela, Rabbi Kivega, said, that's why I am mechuyev, and happily mechuyev, to go to the other side of the town to visit this relative, to Mekayim, that which the Pasuk says, Umi Besarcha Loi Tisalem. With your Rishus, I'd like to tie together the mice I just told you with the Pshat from Hideger, with the Shalah HaKadosh that I shared a few moments ago. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, Umi Besarcha Loi Tisalem means that when it comes to your family, a sibling, a cousin, a distant relative, you can't hide yourself and turn away. You have to be there for them. And there is no exception. It doesn't say Parmash Ata Yachol L'Salim. Going back to the pshat of the Shalah HaKadosh, where the Shalah HaKadosh translated the words, Hoshev Tishivim L'Achicha, go return to, just like you certainly have to go ahead and return a item for sure if your friend is lost. Return him to the Torah, return him to the Ribbono Shel Olam, return him to the beauty of Yiddishkeit. We know that Klal Yisrael is one guf. We've said many times, a person said, I take umbrage. Hitler, Yamach Shemayv Zechray, he didn't kill 6 million Jews. He did not kill 6 million Jews. Rather, he killed one Jew 6 million times. Achenu kol beis Yisrael can't just be words that we say to wax poetic. Achenu kol beis Yisrael means that there was one Yid that was killed 6 million times. So if Rebbe Akiva Eiger is telling us, Umi Besorcha Alta Salim does not come with the exception to the rule of the dispensation that there are times that you could. And the Shalom HaKadosh is telling us that if you have to return the basketball or the vase or the animal, certainly you have to return your lost friend, then that's true about every member of Klal Yisrael. There are people, it can't just be somebody, I know them very well, I'm related to them, oh, a person of prestige, a person that we, no, it can't be that way. Everyone is a child to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to do what we can to go ahead and to return, not just those that we say are related biologically, but according applying the mice of Rabbi Akiva Eiger to the word of the Shlach HaKadosh, Hashesh Teshivim, that they have to be returned, and we have to show that caring, that's not only to somebody that's a family member, because if Klal Yisrael is one goof, then that attitude has to permeate and be seared into our hearts the way that we truly feel one about another. And certainly, when we look back at the year, the pandemic, Meron, Carlin Stolen, most recently in Surfside, we owe it to each other. In a physical sense, there was so much looking for people who were under the rubble, searching for people who were physically lost, searching for people to reunite them with their family. It behooves us during Chodesh Elul to look for the people spiritually, emotionally, who are agonizing in pain. And all they want is that we should show them the Besarcha Al Tesalim, Lo Tesalim. And I think when we do that, we fulfill another acronym of the word Elul, perhaps one of my favorites. Elul Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed stands for one of the greatest titles that a Yid could achieve. Ohuv Lemala V'Nechmad Lemata. Whether you're in the Heichel, you're listening on the phone, or when we get the recording, what is the Rosh Tevis? Ohuv Limala V'Nechmad Limata. Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, the month of Elul. Elul is a time to earn this title. Elul is a time to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we do things to earn that unique title, that distinction of being Ohuv Limala, loved by the Ribbono Shel Olam, V'Nechmad Limata, and cherished by his people, capital H. I think when we fulfill this pshat of the Shalah HaKadosh, when we fulfill this Maisu Rebbe Akiva Eiger, we've truly understood the lesson of Elul, of being someone who is Ahuv Lemala V'Nechmad Lemata. Let's take a look at another part of the parsha and see if we could apply it to another acronym for Chodesh Elul. Take a look a little bit earlier in the parsha. I know it's funny because we're mamish going backwards. We started with Perakov Gimel, then Perakov Beis, and now I'd like to share with you something in Perakov Aleph. Take a look at Chof Aleph. I want you to focus on two psukim, Pasuk Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Ches. If you have the Chumash that we're using, it's page 1046. Chof Aleph, Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. So hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, we came out with something that we could say on Perakov Aleph, Perakov Beis, Perakov Gimel. Share it with others. We mentioned twice already when we started this year, one of the main points of this year is to be able to share it with people at the Suda when you go for a walk. Family, let's enhance our Shabbos Kodesh with Divrei Torah. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Zayin is talking about the power of the Bechor. Kiyas HaBechor, when it comes to a Bechor, Losseis Loi Pishnayim, a Bechor gets double. We've mentioned many times, it's a pshat from the Maral and from others, the uniqueness of the Bechor. Now, Rabbeisai, I don't know how many here or on the phone would actually say that they're a Bechor. I'm not a Bechor. Are you a Bechor? You're not a Bechor. Are you a Bechor? You're not a Bechor. Are you a Bechor? I'm looking at everyone. Oh, no, 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 so what in the world does it mean that we're talking so much about the uniqueness of the Bechor when so few people are actually a Bechor? I think that's a mistake. While it's true in a physical sense that no one, or at least the ones we just asked, we're not a Bechor, But about Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael means both collectively as a nation and within the nation individually, whether physically your passport or your birth certificate says you are, you're not a Bechor, but you've earned the title to emulate the Bechor. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael is true about you. You hear what I'm saying? I think it's true about you and about you and about all and about me. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. So what does it mean to be a Bechor? What does it mean, Pishnayim? There's a Mayridika Balaturim. Rabbi said, if you came just for this Balaturim, Dayenu, it was really enough. The Balaturim says, you know what Pishnayim means? Pishnayim means that the letters of Bechor, Beis Chof Reish, each take double from the letters before it. As they zok the Balaturim. And that's only true about these three letters of Bechor, Beis Chof Reish. It's not true about any other letter. Let's take a look at the Beis. What's the gematria of a Beis? Two. The letter right before it is an Aleph. Aleph is one. Beis is double two. Beis two, I meant to say, is double Aleph, one. What's the next letter Bechor? Chof. Chof is 20. What's the letter right before the Chof? A Yud. Yud is 10. 20 is double 10. What's the last letter Bechor? Reish. Reish is 200. What's the letter right before Reish? Kuf. What's Kuf? 100. That says the Balaturim is a way to read the words Naitel Pishnayim. It takes double. I see it in the letters because the letters are Bechor. They suck the Balaturim. Beis Chof Reish. The gematria of the Beis is double Aleph. The gematria of Chof is double Yud. The gematria of the Reish is double Kuf. That's not true about any other letter. Gimel. Gimel is 3. What do you want to say? Well, you certainly can't say that because you don't have a letter that's worth 1.5. Pick a letter. You want to pick Mem. Mem is 40. The letter before it is Lamed. It's 30. 30 is not half of 40. Pick another letter. Tzadi. Tzadi is 90. What's the letter before that? Pay 80. 80 is not half of 90. It's only true for these three letters. What does that mean? That the letters of Bechor represent double of the letters beforehand. I think perhaps we could say it represents the responsibility of a Bechor. We mentioned a moment ago that in a sense, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, we are all considered a Bechor. How many times have we given a shir on the idea that wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, wherever it might be, people are watching. How does a Yid behave? How is it that we interact with people? How do we present ourselves? How do we represent Am Yisrael? B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, a Bechor, the inherent responsibility as indicated by the fact that the letter beforehand is half of it. In other words, every letter of Bechor is double the previous letter. Perhaps the idea that it's double the previous letter might represent the responsibility, the awesome responsibility that lies within every Yid, every Bechor, every B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, to realize, so to speak, that it's double that which is right beforehand. In other words, you're being watched. You're being scrutinized. People want to see. Do you set a good example or a bad example? A person's machben not to talk in shul, and a visitor picks up on that, then they'll go back to wherever it might be, and they will talk upon themselves not to talk because they saw that person setting a pristine example. But somebody is unfortunately not careful, and he speaks during davening, and somebody is visiting, and that person takes that lesson back to, well, if that person did it, then I could do it as well. What a horrible, horrific example is being set. Every Yid, as a Bechor, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, sets an example where we could either make it or break it. And I think that might be what inherently lies in the fact that the value of every letter of Bechor is double the previous letter. The idea of being double the previous letter is to kind of enhance the awesome responsibility that you have from that which was before you. In other words, people are watching you. That which is before you, they're watching. We have to step it up. We have to double it. We have to be extremely responsible. Now, why does that tie into the next pasuk, pasuk Yudches? Unfortunately, pasuk Yudches is talking about a terribly sad story. That, of course, about the Ben Soirer Umayra. Take a look at the bottom of page 1046, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Yudches. The family unfortunately has a wayward and a rebellious son, Ben Seirer Umayre. To start concluding this year, I have to tell you, Rabbi Isai, I heard this pshat from my father, Zatzal, many times. In the sefer that I'm holding up in front of you, it's brought down in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu. Listen to an unbelievably powerful and frightening pshat from the Kotzke Rebbe, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, and then that might explain why Pasuk Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Ches, those two concepts of a Bechor and a Ben Seira Umayr are placed right next to each other. You know, there's a famous question on the wayward and rebellious son. Rashi tells us right here in Pasuk Yud Ches, why is he being killed? Why is he being punished? Because we take a look at the end of his life, and since it's the end of his life, he's going to go ahead and he's going to steal and do many, many terrible things. The Pasuk says, better that he should die zakai v'al yomus chayiv. Let him die and be killed now, while he's somewhat pure, hasn't gone totally off before. In other words, we kill him, says Rashi, al shem seifei. Al shem seifei means for what he will eventually become. But everybody asks that kasha. Doesn't that contradict Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis? Not the beginning, but Perikof al Posek Yizayin. Look at Rashi. By Yishmol, what are the three famous words? How is Yishmol judged? Good! Basher Husham. Basher Husham means the way you are now. Basher Husham. And al shem seifei. Those are just the opposites. Basher Husham means the way one is now. Al shem seifei means even though you're this way now, but the way you'll become. So the Kotzke Rebbe says, you're right. We usually judge a person, Basher Husham. How you doing? We judge a person the way they are now. And we learned that, as I just told you, in Bereishis Chapal Yizayin. When it says, Al Shem Seifei, that's why he's put to death, says the Kotzke Rebbe, don't read Al Shem Seifei to mean for what he's going to become at the end. This young boy has two titles. He's a Seirer. Seirer is from the word Sar. He turns and does bad. Umayre is also from the word Mayre. Mayre is to be a teacher. In other words, he teaches others. He does bad, but worse than that, he compounds it by teaching others to emulate his negative example. Says the Kotzke Rebbe, Rashi saying, Al Shem Seifei! Al Shem Seifei! For the latter name, for the second name. We're not punishing him now and putting him to death because of the Seirer part. We're doing it for Shem Seifei, the second half of his title. What is that? Moira. The example that he set for others and others learned from him. So usually is a person judged by Sher Husham? Absolutely yes. Why in this case does it seem to be just the opposite, that he's put to death because of what he's going to become? Says the Kotzke Rebbe, when Rashi says the words, Al Shem Seifei, it to be translated as, he does bad, but Umayre, he teaches and others learn from his bad ways. Al Shem Seifei? Because he taught others and because others learned from that example. That's the reason why he's punished at this point. I thought very powerfully that might be the juxtaposition between Psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. Clearly the commonality between both is the ability to impact others. Clearly the commonality and the theme of both is the ability to realize we're being watched, we're being scrutinized fairly or unfairly. It's a metzius. And we don't live in a bubble and a cocoon. The world at large and Klal Yisrael, they're watching to see our behavior. When it's used correctly, one can achieve the status of Bechor. One can earn the title of Bini Bechori Yisrael. And like I said, the fact that the letter before it is half the value might indicate that you're taking what's behind you, you're taking the person that's watching you, and you're building on it double. In other words, you're understanding your awesome responsibility. That's when you set a good example. Pasuk Yud Ches then talks about the same concept, but unfortunately when the example is negative and people learn, Al Shem Seifei, Nishnor, is it bad that you are a Seirer, but you compounded it by becoming a Moira, and going ahead and teaching others. Maybe that's why Yud Zayin and Yeches are placed next to each other, because both have this theme of how we behave impacts many, many people, whether we realize it or not. When used in a positive sense, we earn the title of B'ni B'chayri Yisroel. Unfortunately, when one uses it in a negative sense, at least figuratively, they have become not the Soirer, but Al Shem Soifa, the Moira, the one whose examples weren't proper. I certainly hope that Be'ezras Hashem, as we're able to come back for Parshas HaShavua, insights into the Parsha, as we were able to try to be mechazik ourselves during Chodesh Elul, that we merit, firstly, V'haya Machanecha Kadosh, to do as much as we can to behave with purity so we could turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, we are so lost, and the Torah says we need to be rescued and found. I certainly hope we do everything we can to live up to that acronym of Elul, Ohuv Limala V'Nechmad Lamata. One accomplishes that when they remember the pshat of the Shalach HaKadosh, that if an item is lost, then you have to return it. Then when a yid is lost, spiritually or emotionally, or they feel so alone, we certainly, Kal V'Chaymer Ben B'nei Shel Kal V'Chaymer, have to return to that person and help them feel like they can return. That's the mice with Rabbi Kiva Eger. There wasn't that dispensation or exception to the rule when it came to a family member. And if Klal Yisrael is one goof, you know, when the enemies want to chalila harm us, they don't start making distinctions. And we should taka bizoicha to earn the title of Ohuv Lamala V'Nechmad Lamata by remembering not only how we behave, but how it impacts others, so that Be'ezras Hashem, we could all be that person that earns the title B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, and we should taka bizoicha to Shtaig in our Avodas Hashem, especially during the month of Karev, during the month of Elul, where we can get so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.